I need to look at the word. Before I look at the word, I want to do something that I don't think I've ever done before. I've commended people individually from the front, but I want to commend you guys as a fellowship this morning. We've had illness, we've had an accident, we've had needs in the fellowship in the last couple of weeks. And the way I've seen you guys rallying around has been awesome. It has been absolutely amazing. The amount of prayer that's gone out has been brilliant, but it's the practical help that I've seen. Folk driving hundreds of miles, going out their way to hospitals, taking people home, visiting. Folk taking people back to the hospital, feeding people, taking them into their home, giving them hospitality. Just, it's awesome. You know who you are and what you've done. Cleaning houses, you know, cooking food. It's wonderful. It's awesome to see. I feel kind of inadequate as a pastor sometimes in the fact that I work full-time job and I'm not allowed around to take people to the hospital to go and visit, but you know what, my inadequacies are covered up by you guys in an amazing way. So I commend every single one of you as a fellowship. What I'm seeing here is a body of people. It's like a worshiping family rather than a church, and that's down to you guys in the word changing you. It is awesome to see. So I commend you. Right, let's look at the word. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you that it's now time for us to gather around your word. It is time for us to look at the truths in scripture. It is time to look at what you have laid down for us, what you have literally breathed out for us to teach us, to straighten us, to guide us. Hallelujah. We thank you for the word. I just pray that we hear this word that you're saying to us this morning, that word gets deep into our heart, into good ground, and that we understand the word this morning. And then we'll just look forward to the fruit. So we pray for understanding for every single one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. And hopefully after the message this morning, you'll understand why I pray for understanding every time I open the word. Hallelujah. That's a good light, Marge. Cheers. Makes a bit of a difference. Excellent. The power of the word. This is our new teaching series. And we're into week 3 already. And Dave's been busy with his copier. So if you haven't heard, week 1 and 2, they're at the back. 5 or 6, is there, Dave? Sitting at the back? 4 of each week, so get there quick. If there's none left, tell Dave and he'll... Dave's another man that covers a lot of my inadequacies. He does all the copying and all the logistics, so Dave will sort all that out for you. Week 3. We've seen already that the word is powerful. The word is life-changing. The word is better than experience. Remember that? Peter said it's better than actually seeing the transfiguration of Jesus. Wow, that's good. We've seen that the word is God-breathed and it's perfect, and it actually moves us towards perfection. We'll read those verses again, just as a revision. Have you lost your pen? There you go. So let's have a quick look at 2 Timothy 3, I'll just remind you of these verses. Can't find Timothy. There it is. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Remember that inspiration word literally means God breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then we looked at 2 Peter 1. We'll just read from 19 today. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. My two favorite passages of Scripture about Scripture. Yeah, I love it. The Word, just awesome. Last week, we started looking at the parable of the sower. Because I said, this is a parable about the Word. And I told you that we need to understand this important parable. Because Jesus says, if you don't understand this, you're not going to get anything else I'm going to say. Well, that's a paraphrase of Vic. Jesus stressed the importance of this parable, saying you need to know this or you're not going to be able to understand any of the other parables. Anything else I say, you've got to get this. So that's what we're going to work through. Let's read Mark 4, 1 to 20. Remember I said you can also get this in Matthew 13 and in Luke 8. Or is it Luke 18? 8. Thank you. Well done. But we're kind of using as our core study passage, Mark 4. Mark 4, chapter, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprung up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. They seeing, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Hallelujah. Spent last week looking at the word, looking at the kingdom of God, being likened to a seed. And of course, that's right up my street. I'm right in my element there, being a barley expert. So I could do loads of stuff about seeds. And I told you all about seeds. A seed being a package of potential or a package of life. A seed is an amazing thing. Remember I spoke about what's the name of that tree? The giant sequoia. Saw a TV program on the internet. The guy was at the top of this tree. It was 100 meters tall, and he had a seed in his finger. And the seed was like 5 millimeters long. It was tiny, but all the potential, all the life that was required for that 100-meter tree, the biggest thing that lives on the face of the earth, all came from that tiny little seed. And I said, every single one of you here came from a seed. All the potential, all the life that was required to make you came from a seed. But this, the word as a seed, is different. Remember what I told you about these seeds? What are they? Perfect. Well, you weren't listening last week, were you? Or maybe I didn't ask a right question. Let's look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God is immortal, it is incorruptible, it is perfect. The seeds in this book are absolutely perfect. However, we also saw that the word of God behaves like a natural seed, and it doesn't germinate and grow and produce fruit overnight, unless it's like giant bamboo, which grows like an inch an hour or something, I don't know. Don't know where that came from. Ignore that, because it's still a process. Word of God behaves like a natural seed. We don't get fruit overnight. You plant the seed, it germinates, it develops, it grows. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It's a process. Look at Mark 4:28. This should all be revision, guys. I hope you're all getting this. Mark 4:28 says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And I said for barley, that's like 6 months. Plant, grow, harvest. There's a time and a process for the seed to germinate and develop and grow. And we're going to start looking at that this week. We're going to start looking at the rest of the parable of the sower. And we're going to look at what Jesus says about the seed and about the ground that the seed gets planted in. Yeah, that was one of the main things that Jesus spoke about here. Jesus is very clear once he teaches the disciples about this parable. What he's telling them is that the ground describes them. Now, what's one of our axioms here? If Jesus speaks to his disciples, who else is he speaking to? Us. Amen. Jesus is speaking to us. Jesus is describing how we deal with the word, how we deal with that seed. He likens what we think about, what we do with the word, what we do with it, how we meditate and whatever on it. He likens that to the ground a seed is being planted in. He likens the ground that the seed is being sown into as our hearts. Okay? And in this context, the word heart, as well as being the physical heart, actually means thoughts, feelings, and mind. That's the Greek behind it. When we're talking about heart, we're also talking about our thoughts, our feelings, and our mind. It is the Greek word cardio, which obviously is where cardiac comes from. Even I could work that out. But it is about our thoughts, our minds, what we think, what we do with the word. And what we're going to do over the next few weeks, because I was hoping to do all four grounds today. But you know me. Guess how many I've done? One. Yeah. So spent a lot of time on one ground. But what we'll see over the coming weeks, that there's four different types of grounds, and that describes us. It describes our heart. It describes our mind. It describes how we deal with the word, what we think about the word, and what we do with it. So, let's go on to the first type of ground that Jesus describes. This first state of the heart, this first way of thinking, first way of operating with the word. I'm going to base it on Mark 4:4, but I'm also going to look at Luke and look at Matthew, because they have some wonderful subtle differences with how they describe what Jesus said. That to me is not a contradiction. That's just to me wonderful evidence of first-hand accounts, slight differences. But they add a little bit that gives us a deeper understanding than if we just read Mark. So Mark 4:4, and it came to pass, as they sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Whoops. What the ground here is, the ground that Jesus is describing, is the ground at the side of the field where people have been walking on. So there's been people wandering along, trampling down the ground, and on this side, it is really hard. It's packed down. There's no sort of breaks in the earth. It's all trampled down. It's all solid and hard. It's not been dug over. It's not ready to receive any seeds. It's not been prepared. So the sower's throwing all his seed around. Remember, this is the way he used to sow the seed. Some of it lands on these, you could almost call them pavements, I suppose, walkways. And it sits there, and it doesn't get a chance to germinate and grow because it's sitting right on the top of the surface. The birds see it. Down they come. Woof. You should see sparrows and pigeons at the back of a barley lorry when you get a spillage. It's like that. It's just where they come from. I don't know. They must have smoke signals or something, but thousands of them. They're there. So there's this. The birds then, they see the seed at the side of the ground, side of the field, on this hard-packed ground, come down, eat it up, gone. That seed's not going to grow. What's that got to do with my heart? What's that got to do with the way I think? Look at Mark 4:15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. If we look at the three verses, we're going to look at Luke as well. We're going to look at Matthew. We can learn some wonderful truths about the word here. In Mark, we see that the birds coming down and taking the grain is being likened to the enemy coming in and stealing the word away from us. It's like as if that seed of the word is just sitting on the top of our heart. You know, if you want to picture it like that, or on the top of your brain. I don't know how you want to picture it, but it's just like that. You hear the word, it's kind of sitting on your heart, and it's not penetrated, and you can just come and pluck it away. Take it away from you. The seed of the word needs to get into your heart. It needs to get into kind of your very core thoughts, your core being. It needs to get right into your mind, into your thoughts. Got to get right deep in. So how does it get in? Well, let's look at Matthew 13:19. It's one of these little extensions to Mark. Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, now listen to this, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. This is simple. This little extension from Matthew. If you don't understand the word, then it can be stolen away. If you don't understand what you're being told, what you're reading, what you're listening to on the internet, what someone's telling you, if you don't understand it, it can be stolen away. But we don't like negative messages here, do we? We like positive messages. So the positive side is, if you understand it, he cannot get it. That is a really positive thing. If you understand the word, he cannot take it away from you. It cannot be plucked away. If you understand the word, it will have been planted. And you will have given it the chance to grow. You will have given it the chance to produce fruit, and you'll have given it the chance for you to get a harvest. But you've got to get it planted first. If a seed is not planted, it'll not produce fruit. That's obvious. If it's eaten before it gets into the ground, you haven't got a chance. If we don't understand the word, we're not going to get a harvest. We're not even going to give it the chance to have a harvest. You see, planting it is the first thing. We're going to look at other grounds after this. But if we plant it, we'll give it at least give it a fighting chance to produce fruit. The Greek for understand in this passage literally means to put together. By implication, to comprehend. So it does mean understand. Yeah, for once, this understand for Greek means understand. But it means to put together. It's reading the word, listening to the word, and getting it. It's as simple as that. Simple to say, maybe not so easy to do. Simple message, though. Understand it. Get it. However, there is an extension to this meaning of understand. There is a you have to do an action. I'm trying to think of the word. There is an onus on the person who does the understanding to then act. There's an action associated with the understanding. Get that? So it's a little extension of that word, understand. It's hearing, understanding, and then acting upon the word that is important. I was kind of reminded when I was meditating on this, reminded on our last set of teaching about prosperity and giving, about sowing and reaping. And during that time, every week we were planting seeds about giving, planting seeds about prosperity, planting seeds about sowing and reaping in the kingdom. The seed of the word was being sown into your hearts at that point. Now hopefully, he would have understood it. Hopefully, he would have got it. Hopefully, he would have put it together. And then hopefully, you've started acting upon it. See, if you heard it and understood it and didn't act on it, you're not going to see fruit in your life for that area. You have to hear the word in whatever format it is, understand it, and act upon it, we'll see fruit. And I truly believe that if you acted upon it, remember, in faith and love, then you'll see real fruit in that area. You will see a harvest. But this process always starts with understanding. That is why on a Thursday night before we have the big meeting, on a Thursday night when I used to lead the Bible study in Avis, on a Sunday morning when we look at the Word, that is why every time I pray for understanding. Because if you don't get it, you could have it stolen away from you, and you're not going to produce fruit. I do believe that that's a biblical prayer before teaching, that everyone needs to understand. Understanding or lack of understanding is the main thing here. This is the main point. Understand, you've given it the potential to grow. Lack of understanding, it's stolen. And that potential, that package of potential, that package of life, it's gone. So you plant it the next time. Maybe give it a chance the next time. It is vital that we understand there are consequences if we do, and there are consequences if we don't. Let's go to Luke now and see his little extension. Luke 8, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, that's quite an extension, eh? Wonderful little bit to add on to our understanding of this ground by the wayside. He tells us what can be lost if we don't understand God's word. The enemy wants to steal the word in case you believe and are saved. But Vic, I believe. Vic, I am saved. So this verse is just for non-believers then? No. This verse is for believers as well. This verse is for a born-again believer. Because the word saved is a derivative of sozo. Hallelujah. It is a derivative of sozo. And that covers all the things that we receive through the finished work of Jesus on the cross. This is not just talking about non-believers believing and being saved. This is talking about you hearing the word and believing it and then seeing something manifest out of the sozo package that Jesus has prepared for you. This is saying, if you hear the word, you don't understand it, and you have it stolen, you can miss out on healing and wholeness, peace and joy, prosperity. All the things that we believe is kind of rolled up in sozo. All the things that Jesus appropriated for us at the cross. You could miss out on acceptance, miss out on all these things. It is saying if you lose that seed, if you have that seed stolen away, if you don't understand it, you can miss out on being made whole. You know, being made whole, that's another translation of that, derivative of that word, so that we see in other parts of Scripture. Healed is another translation of that derivative of sozo. Healed, made whole, saved, it's all the same word. We can miss out on that. The extension here in Luke is very, very important when we add it into what we read in Matthew 3 and we add it into Mark 4. Lack of understanding means we could miss out on what Jesus has got for us. But let's turn that around, because we don't like the negative message in this place. We like the positive message, don't we? If you understand the word, you can be made whole. Because if it says the negative in the word, we just turn it around and make it the positive. That is brilliant. If we understand the word, we start moving on that process, that possibility of being made whole, of being healed, of being made prosperous, of feeling acceptance. Oh, that's good news. Understand the word, and we can move towards sozo. Oh, it's brilliant. Ties in with Timothy 3:16-17, doesn't it? The word's there to move you towards perfection. That is the definition of perfection for me. Getting all the things that he's given for me on the cross. To get all that sozo. Oh, that's just marvelous. It is. It is awesome. Thank you. If we hear and understand and believe and act, it's another process in the kingdom, folks. Nay overnight, though. But what a marvelous process, isn't it? But the process starts with sowing the seed and understanding. You can't start the process halfway along, jumping on somebody else's back and getting what they've got. You can't. This is you. Your heart planting his seeds. It's your process. But you've got to start by planting the seed and doing, am I going to say work? work in the right way, work at understanding the word. Amen. No sowing, no harvest. No understanding, no harvest. There's the negative ones I've got written down there. Turn it around. If you sow the word, you've got the potential to harvest. If you understand, you've got the potential to harvest. You've started along that process. Brilliant. Therefore, it is good for us to sow, good for us to understand. Now, you guys know, week after week after week, I go on and on and on about the word. Agreed? Thank you for that, amen, yes? Amen. Every week, isn't it? You know if you come to this place, you're going to get the word. That is the most important emphasis that we have, is to get around the word and try and get you understanding the word. Because I want you guys, every single one of you, to live in abundance. I want you operating in the gifts of spirit. I want you all living holy lives. The word, understanding it, will move you towards perfection, will move you towards sozo, and as you're going along that line, you will live more holy lives without even trying it. I want to see you appropriate more of what Jesus gave you through the cross. And I want that for myself. Get into the word and you'll be helping that process along. I really encourage you, get into the word, and that will encourage, that will help push the process along. Plant the seed of the word in your lives. Plant the seed of the word in other people's lives as well. Speak out the word to yourself. Speak out the word to others. And you will help them on their road to the complete sozo package. Read the word. Listen to the word. Speak out the word. Take time to understand. Now, I'm not saying you need to sit down 20 hours a day and study the word and get a master's in theology. Far from it. I'm not encouraging you to do that at all. Because when we're completely honest, the gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. It's a simple message. We don't need to go down the road of these different kinds of justifications. You're justified or you're not. There's this partial and positional. I'm not asking you to go down that road, so don't be put off. Theology is not hard when we're talking about the simple message of the gospel of grace through Jesus Christ. It is a simple message, and it's wonderful to study it. It's not rocket science. It's been made complicated by intelligent men. There you go. Me and thee, we used to be one of them. Made it complicated by intelligent men. Thought theology was a thing. Perverted by men. Put it together yourselves, that's what you need to do. Get good teaching, that's why you're here. Hallelujah. Listen to the internet, get good teaching off that. Read the word. Oh yeah, and maybe listen to Holy Spirit. There's a suggestion. What's he got to say about his word? Study with him. Let him be your teacher. That's who Paul had. That's who Paul had. His teacher was Holy Spirit. Brilliant. Where was I? Put it together yourself. Reading the word, listening to good teachers, listening to messages online or whatever, reading good books. Study yourself. If it's getting too complicated, if it's getting too deep, go for the simple stuff. Listen to us. We don't do deep. We do simple. God uses the simple. Isn't that what, yeah, God uses the simple. Hallelujah. Put it together. We need to put it together. Go to Bible studies. Come along on a Thursday night. Help each other put it together. That's a great way to learn the word. But can we help this process? There's the next question, or it should be. That was the question that was asked on Thursday night at the Bible study, was it? How do we help this process? How can we help this process for ourselves and others? Let's look first at 2 Corinthians 4. I really do like this light. It makes a real difference. Two Corinthians four, three and five. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians, to me, gives us advice on how to prepare the ground for non-believers. Okay? It talks of the God of this world literally blinding their minds. Literally, there means obscured the perceptions. That's big words. Obscured the perceptions. We do simple here. Hidden the truth for them. Hidden the truth from them. I was told many years ago when I was training to be a manager that for any person you're speaking to, their perception is reality. Yeah, so it doesn't matter what you're thinking, you're telling them. Their perception is reality. It means that what they see or what they say is real for them at that time. The enemy blinds people to reality, and the perception for them is real. God is not real. God is not here. There is no God. It's all about evolution. It's all about you come from stars and all this. You've got a lot to answer for that new boy, Brian Cox. You know, but for them, that perception is reality. You know why it's reality? Because the enemy has blinded them to the real truth. So do we just keep hammering on at them the word? Yes. However, pray for that blindness to be removed. If there's something in the word, you can pray that prayer. We're told here that people are blinded to the truth. Pray against that blindness. Pray that that blindness can be removed, so then when you come in with a real truth, they're not blind anymore and they can see that. And it says they'll be saved. It's the incorruptible seed that saves people. Remember 1 Peter 1:25? Yeah. Pray about this perception. Pray about this false reality that the secular world is just pumping out there. Pray against that. And also preach Jesus. That's what the next verse says. Preach Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 13. And verse 14. Because I want to know how to prepare my ground and prepare your ground. And you should want to know how to prepare your ground and your people around you. You should want to know how to prepare their ground. Matthew 13, 14 and 15. It says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's again the sozo. Yeah. This to me is about believers as well. The scriptures here says that people can be dull of hearing and have their eyes closed, or actually close their eyes themselves, is what it says. And this state leads them to have a hard heart. This is the waxed gross bit. The surface of their heart, the seed can't penetrate it because they're dull of hearing and they've closed their eyes. So what do we pray against? Or what do we pray for? We pray that they can hear, and we pray that their eyes are opened. That's a biblical prayer. Pray that their eyes are opened. Pray that they can hear. The Greek for the closed eyes is interesting because it actually means to shut down. It's not just shutting your eyes, it's shutting down, to shut down. That talks to me of apathy, of I just don't want to hear anymore. I'm just not interested. Do we have people we know like that? Even trying to tell them about the word? What is it to say? Talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. You know, they've shut down. So to me, that means you can pray against apathy. You can pray that they get interested. You can pray. Look at the word. Start praying what the word says for these people. See, if they're not hearing, if they've shut their eyes, if their heart's waxed gross, there's no way that that word can get in. Sometimes it can't even get to the heart. Because it can't get through the ears, can't get through the eyes. See, some of you, your more perceptive ones, may have heard me something's praying, let your ears be open, let your eyes be open. See? Biblical prayers. To try and get the word into our hearts. You can pray for people's ears to be open to hear. Pray for people's eyes to be open to see. Pray for people to be removed from apathy. Pray for an interest to develop. And you know what? If you're struggling in an area, pray that for yourselves. Is there an area you're struggling in? Have I given up? Pray to get rid of that apathy. Pray to get interested again. Is there maybe someone you're not hearing? Pray that my ears will be opened up so I can hear what I need to hear. Is there someone I'm supposed to be seeing? Pray for your eyes to be opened up. Pray for yourselves. See, I don't see, well, what we're going to look at over the coming weeks is these four states of heart or states of mind. But I don't think we are just in one state all the time. There's four types of ground. I don't think our heart is either ground one, ground two, ground three, or ground four exclusively. I see these different states being manifest in different areas. So part of your heart could be waxed gross. Part of your heart could be fruitful. Part of your heart, those weeds are still choking your fruit. We have different states of heart, different states of mind, different states of having our mind renewed in different areas of our lives. I'm victorious in some areas, I'm struggling in others. So my heart can't be one state. It's got to be different. That's my experience anyway. I think I've explained this to you before. My state of mind, my heart about forgiveness, I've nailed that. I'm forgiven. And I'm absolutely sure about it. And I'm seeing fruit coming from that mindset, from that change. Healing, I'm somewhere in the, I think I'm in like the weeds still choking something, because I'm seeing progress in the area of healing, but need to get rid of those weeds. There's some weeds there. So I see that as having, you know, it's been two different areas of my heart. There's issues that I started dealing with, and I thought, this is great. A couple of days later, that's the second area. There's some things I've just not started on yet. That's the waxed gross. Got to get rid of your apathy, Vic. You know, there's different areas of the heart for different areas of our lives. I'm sure some of you are seeing great victories in some areas. And in other areas, you're thinking, what the heck is going on? I'm just seeing nothing. We need to move our heart along from wax gross to shallow to still having thistles and weeds to being fruitful. If you're struggling in an area, we can pray those prayers that we spoke about already. We can prepare the ground in a way. That is the question I was trying to answer there. If we know it's all about ground, how do we prepare the ground? Well, open our ears, open our eyes, let that seed get in. Open our ears, open our eyes, get that rid of that waxy covering, and it'll get in your heart. If the non-believers pray that the blindness falls away from them so they can see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, we can pray these prayers. Pray that your ears are open to the sections of the word that speak about prosperity, if that's an area you're struggling in. Me, I should be praying that my ears are opened to a full revelation of what the word says about healing. You know? That's my prayer. Pray that your eyes are open to the truths and scriptures that you need to see. Pray for understanding. Pray for revelation from Holy Spirit. Pray against any potential apathy or difficulties you've got in your life. That, to me, is preparing the ground for accepting the seed of the word. So that's the first type. I did say I was going to try and cover four today, but I gave up. Saturday morning, just gave up and thought I'll just stick to one. But this is important teaching, so we're going to take our time over it. So, summary, key points. What do you need to understand? Understanding is the key. You need to understand that you need to understand. That's the key. Understanding and that process of growth, that has the potential to take you to harvest, but there is a starting place. You need to plant this. You need to plant the seed of the word. Lack of understanding leads to the word being stolen away. The process just can't start. Understanding is the start of the process. That's what we need to try and get. Understanding from the word. Amen. Hallelujah.